Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In the meantime, can I tell you something that happened to me on the airplane yesterday?
Please.
I was sitting in the aisle and the seats next to me were empty. And these three, they're like college kids maybe. They came up to me and they said, one of them was like, oh, hey, would you mind moving your seat so we, the three of us, can sit together? We have the other two seats in your row. And I was like, well, where is it? Is it an aisle seat? And it was like the row in front of me. It was a middle seat, but the lady who had the aisle seat was like, I can sit in the middle. So I was like, fine, sure, I'll just move up one seat on the plane. And one of the guys is like, we really never do this. And I was thinking to myself, well, that's great, but every other time that you don't do this, like, I'm not there.
That's a great point. That's a really good point.
Like, I'm not there to experience the virtue of you sitting in the seat that you purchased.
Out of paper, out of stock, there's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly. For your business paper needs, or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host, and I could wear stretch pants and wait for you to come home at 5:15. It could work. This could work, really. Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, and I will raise 100 children with 100 of your lovers if it means that I could be with you.
Aw, and with us as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
This is a ring taken from the buttocks of my grandmother. Put there by the gangster patriarch of the Coors dynasty. Melted in a foundry run by Mennonites.
Okay.
Every week we
this
get...
This expresses how loudly I love you!
Every week we get together to talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week we'll cover our main topic, and then we'll finish with some listener-provided trivia.
Maybe a little Ordinary Things in there. Who knows?
Maybe a little Ordinary Things in the middle there. But we want to dive right into today's main topic because there are several mini topics within it. I don't know what I'm saying. It's wedding proposals.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying we have some wedding proposals to cover, and I'm excited. We might spend some time on these. This is going to be fun.
The topic of today's episode is proposals in the office. With Alex's wedding right around the corner, we thought, hey,
you're
why
bad
not
at this too?
we thought, why not do an episode about weddings in the office? And then we realized we did that when Sean had his wedding just about a year ago.
Yeah,
that was a
forgettable.
Yeah. That was a fun topic. It's always fun when you can look at a recurring thing like this in the show. And proposals are actually a very big sort of device where weddings can be this big event. Proposals are this enormous gesture that happens a number of different times throughout the show. Sometimes from Michael, sometimes from Andy, sometimes from Jim. So we get to see that happen quite a bit. Where do you want to start?
Well, I'll say this too. We're recording this, and we're 4 days out from my wedding. Mm-hmm. We did this a year ago with Sean. Is that a year ago? A little over a year ago with Sean. Mm-hmm. So, Edwin, if you get married and we're still doing the show, I don't know what we're gonna do. We have nothing else wedding related.
Wedding receptions in the office. Wedding gifts in the office.
Yeah.
Divorces in the office. I guess we could cover that.
really quick, I was talking to our friend Matt, who's going to be the MC for our reception, and he was talking about, like, when he introduces us back out, you know, mm-hmm. after the ceremony, as the reception starts. we just riffed so many jokes he could throw there. My favorite one is just, please welcome Mr. Alex Ward and his first wife, Mrs. Anne Grimewater. Like, what are the worst ways you could introduce us?
Yeah. Oh, he should do that.
But the other one was looking at, like, doing a double take when he realized Anne's not taking my last name and being like, Mr. Alex Ward and Mrs. Anne. Oh, that's a bad sign. Anne Grimewater. Anyway.
It's going to be so fun, and I'm
going to be great. Let's talk about proposals. Let's talk about the beginning
on the
way
office.
Way before you're planning the wedding, when it's just a simple love story between two people sharing an expensive ring together.
maybe we should start with, you know, the most iconic proposal on the office, Ryan and Kelly. Yes, right.
Let's start with off-screen.
Sorry. Wait. Were you guys thinking?
No. Let's start with off-screen proposals because there's two of them. Mm-hmm. There's Ryan and Kelly, and there's Phyllis and Bob.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, and Pam and Roy.
Well. Yeah. I guess we don't. Yeah. You're right. We don't see that, but we sort of see them at least engaged to a date.
They're engaged when they're at the beginning.
Yeah. Right.
they set a date, which is their real engagement.
Well, Roy said the first one didn't count.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
Three Dundies later, they're still waiting to get married. But yes, sure, Ryan and Kelly, they get married, divorced in a weekend.
Mm-hmm. Actually, they do need people to take sides.
They do, yeah. How do you think it went?
I mean, Ryan was crying a lot.
We know that.
I like how we also kind of get a proposal story for their divorce, actually, is really what we get. A romantic story of them spending a weekend. Where is it? Cape
Poconos.
Yeah, Poconos. That's it.
When in doubt, if someone in the office is on vacation, it's probably has to do with the Poconos.
But yeah, I mean, there's not much there. We don't see this proposal.
I think a future drop for you, Alex, can be Meredith saying, "Sweet, free ring." Kelly good. Throws it off.
That's great.
Yeah, but it is nice to know that Kelly and Ryan, as one of the more turbulent couples in the office, does have their own little mini proposal story.
In an absolute just jamboree of relationships that they go through over the course of the show, mm-hmm. they do the entire cycle of proposal, marriage, and divorce in one weekend as only they could. And they say that they watch the sunrise a lot, which means they were just friggin' hammered the entire time, because you're only watching sunrises usually if you're just like been a heavy night of drinking. If you're you know, Kelly and Ryan,
certain.
And you're in the Poconos. I doubt they're doing sunrise hikes.
I think it was good that you brought up Phyllis and Bob, their engagement as well. I think that's a big surprise when Phyllis says, "I'm engaged to Bob Vance," or "I'm getting married to Bob Vance."
Mm-hmm.
And Pam,
this is in
Gatewitch
Hunt, where we find this out, season 3 opener.
When Pam turns around, and says, "Where did you get that?" I love that that moment where they're all so happy for Phyllis.
Is there a better comeback than Michael questioning Phyllis's sexual orientation, and she's just like, "Bam!" Like, "I'm getting married to Bob Vance." Like, like, Michael gets thrown back in his face so hard. It's a great moment. And Michael's, you know, that's kind of amazing. Can't believe it.
Yeah. Phyllis definitely gains an upper hand there that she can bring in for the rest of the show. Don't make me call Bob. What's Bob going to do? The entire rest of the show.
Yeah.
We got that card to play.
That kind of low wattage angst. Or a high wattage for Michael of, like, afraid of being alone that permeates so much of his time on the show. Like, Phyllis, someone who went to high school with Michael, the same age, someone who Michael, I think, enjoys is in the office because it's like, well, she was on the same track as me, and at least I'm her boss. That gets flipped in this moment, and Michael now descends to an even further lower, darker place, I think, in his psyche when he realizes Phyllis is getting married, because he's like, that was all I had. In terms of me keeping me hopeful, and he really kind of bottoms out there.
Mm-hmm.
I do think we should touch on the Booze Cruise episode with Roy setting a date with Pam. I know that it's not the engagement. They've been engaged. We go into the show with Pam and Roy engaged. And I think that is one of the, like, proposals and engagements in the office is kind of this recurring sort of thing where people are kind of in that state of it creates that tension.
Mm.
For the will they won't they, like, not only is Pam with Roy, but she is engaged to Roy. And when we get that moment of them setting the date, and then Jim is outside talking to Michael, and Michael says, Roy said the first one didn't count. It's just an extra like little turn of the knife for Jim, who's there to see it happen. So it's
right after witnessing the conversation at the table that they all have, where it's it seems like very clear of like, oh, Jim and Pam seem to be a much better couple, and maybe Roy and Katie would be a much better couple together. It's just it all comes in waves. No pun intended, but now intended for Lake Wallenpaumpack.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's not like a proposal per se, but it does feel like a similar kind of moment. There's a big cheer in the room, and Captain Jack offers to marry them as the captain of the boat. I had an idea that it would have been amazing to have Captain Jack have a cameo in Roy's wedding in season 9.
Him be the officiant.
Can you imagine if Captain Jack...
Oh, that
would have
been
Jack,
great. Get Rob Riggle back.
Yeah,
he should have been the officiant. Yeah. That's such a great call.
Wouldn't missed that been opportunity.
Amazing. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dang. Now I'm bummed.
It is interesting. Like, I mean, you know, Pam and Roy's engagement, of course, you know, we start the show with them engaged. We get this kind of second mini proposal in a way, which I don't think is terribly romantic. Roy just getting drunk with the captain of a ship and realizing that he's not a man because he hasn't followed through with his engagement and just blurting it out right there in the middle of a work party.
Daryl.
But, I mean, it is interesting that the show starts with this engagement, which doesn't, you know, which isn't ever executed. They don't have they never get actually married. And it's not the only time that an engagement ends before we get to the marriage in this show.
It's very true. I think Roy's proposal also is the first one. It's the first one we actually see in the show, right?
Yeah.
And kicks off the trend of if there's a proposal on the show, someone's either sloppy drunk or soaking wet or there's flashing lights.
Yeah.
Every proposal. Roy's hammered here, as was Ryan and Kelly. I assume Andy was probably feeling a little liquid courage when he proposes, but we'll get to that one. Yeah, really drunk on a booze cruise, feeling that. Roy just goes for it, shoots a shot. Captain Jack is ready to do it right there, and boy, what a different show it would be if that had happened.
It is just like I'm just you know. Roy having this kind of impulsive like feeling to like propose in front of everyone they work with is something that Jim kind of tries to do in Goodbye Toby, and then he is usurped by Andrew Bernard who sneaks
excellent
in there
the
and
word.
steals the proposal.
Darn. Well, Jim is explaining to Michael about how you can really connect with someone at work the way that he did with Pam. He says you can take things slow, and Michael says you took things too slow. There is that element of Jim kind of realizing that this would be a moment to jump on and to propose. But yeah, of course, Andy steals the spotlight. I do think, I mean, having talked about those off-screen proposals, now that we get to Michael, Andy, Jim, and Dwight, these are guys who go for big gestures. In their own individual ways. So I think that's one thing that the show kind of does again and again is, you know, with varying levels of sanity and delusion, these characters make big, grand, romantic gestures. So, yeah, Andy starts it off with a Goodbye Toby party.
Let's talk about that one. I mean, not only do we get duped with fake Andy parents during this proposal, which, by the way, how off the cuff is it if he had time to invite his parents who then drove all the way there? Anyway, this is a question for another time.
Those are his Scranton parents, I guess.
Those are his Scranton parents. We've talked about how they're actors, right?
Yeah, I like the idea that the Bernard family just will hire surrogates to be in their place, like in Arrested Development.
That is funny. He invites his parents and they're like, Andy, it's terribly short notice. We'll hire those actors.
We'll send the surrogates. Yeah.
That's okay. All right. That answers that question. We'll just leave it out there.
Go to the mirror. You're fired.
What?
What?
Okay.
I'll spank your ass raw.
We're veering into Arrested Development territory, which is awesome.
Sorry.
I do love that Andy kind of steals the spotlight, and this is the, you know, this is the way that Andy invites her on stage. She says no, and he says, well, then I will come to you, my flower. Takes the whole mic stand. The sound of the keyboard being pulled out.
And he's like, don't.
Damn it. Yeah.
Like, Daryl sees it coming like a half second too late. It's so funny. And I mean, and that's pretty emblematic of this proposal, which is that, and Andy is the perfect character to do this. I mean, someone who completely obliviously just destroys the moment for Jim, but Andy's so bubbly and happy about it and just completely. I mean, why would Andy know? It's not really Andy's fault. It's just the most annoying thing he could have done from Jim's perspective, the worst thing. And he does it. And, you know, for a relationship that's a sham also. I mean, it's tough.
Hmm. Also, it leaves Goodbye Toby ending on this note of, I mean, Goodbye Toby is such a great episode for so many reasons, but it leaves Jim and Pam on this sort of crossed wires, misconnection sort of thing, where Pam really thought Jim was going to propose tonight, and he was, but the moment was stolen from him. So
I feel like Pam could have been like, I thought Jim, but I guess Andy did. I feel like Pam might have figured it out. I don't know. Right when the fireworks are going off.
Yeah.
And plus Jim does do the like long look at her and like, hey.
And then reaches into his pocket. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, come on, Pam. Obviously he was going to propose. Like, you could just play along, but it was like, oh,
I mean, it's an effective way to end the season because it is the season ender. Goodbye, Toby.
Right.
That's true.
And Jim has also done a bunch of pump fake proposals in this season.
That's right.
Getting down to tie his shoe. I would propose that you would get me a cup of coffee, which would energize me greatly. He even says, like, have I not proposed to you yet?
He kind of dug himself a hole with all those.
It's going to kick your ass, Beasley. Yeah. he's done all this. So, of course, like, that would actually be another funny thing where he's about to do it and she thinks it's fake, like, because of all these, all the pranks.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
And funny enough, Andy almost derails the wedding as well when he tears his scrotum and has Pam drive him to the hospital.
That's right.
Going to break in the bed.
by
that,
the way.
That man there. Hey.
What if it's going to break in the bed? What if his best moments?
I'm going to need to see the person responsible for changing those sheets.
I watched that kind of arc from Niagara through a few later episodes after that, and there's like three or four peak Andy teeth tucks. I don't know what to call them. The face that we love so much
that we talk about all the time.
There are some iconic ones in there. I'll send you timestamps, Edward. They make me laugh even harder now than they used to.
I feel lachrymose.
Yeah.
That's such a good one. Oh my god.
How about Angela accepting
Angela accepting that. Yes. Yeah. She just like, I said okay.
just absolutely not into it. I can only imagine she just is feeling the pressure of the moment. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's just like, you can't say no in that moment. In that time, although Carol certainly does
she, I was going to say not. To, she saw Carol do it, and she saw what that was like.
True.
Yeah. I mean, does she say yes to hurt Dwight even more? She takes a feud very seriously. Mm-hmm. You know.
I agree because I don't.
She's very good.
I think
at
it's very
a
clear
grudge.
She at no point ever actually intends to actually marry Andy.
I think most of it is that, I mean, because we know that Angela and Dwight are in love and are you know, sort of meant to wind up together. Even her relationship with Andy is just all about hurting Dwight. So,
yes,
I definitely think that that's something she's thinking about in that moment.
A lot of collateral damage on that proposal there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Andy's poor, fake parents.
I mean, look, to Andy's credit, he seizes the moment. He's been carrying that ring for years in his pocket, so good on him. But, I mean, it's not a bad move. I mean, if you're Andy, if like the situation, he gets his parents there, everything's going right. I mean, he proposed to the wrong woman at the wrong time for the wrong reasons, but, you know.
Yeah.
The actual proposal, way to step up into the moment, Andy. Good on you. You seized it just a second before Jim, which is all you needed.
There's something so funny about him saying, "And then I will come to you, my flower."
Yeah,
she's
perfect.
Just so uncomfortable.
It just sets the tone for their whole thing, man.
Yeah.
Like him, it was fiance.
Yeah, it's like him giving her a flower at the dinner party. Like he they're just on the wrong page so many times. And this one seems to set up Jim and Pam's engagement in weight loss at the beginning of season 5. It moves right into it.
Yeah.
Before we get to that one, I was just gonna say that, you know, again, if we're staying on the themes of failed marriage proposals that are very public. We also have Michael and Carol. Michael's first marriage proposal.
Let's talk about that one.
Season 3, man. A lot of stuff going on. But yes, Diwali, as I will always bring up, way cringier than Scott's Tots. You just watch those two episodes back to back and you tell me which one's worse.
Yeah, you tell him.
Tell me. Email, call in, hit us up.
I mean, Michael, as does, like, speaking of just doing everything wrong, Michael tells Carol that it's a costume party.
Mm-hmm. It's the worst proposal of all time.
It's so bad.
How quickly he's able to detach the second papier-mâché head. Just be guy in suit. He's like a transformer. He just and it's off. Yeah.
That's tough.
And then she's stuck there wearing the costume.
It is such a stark, just a stark example of the difference between Michael and Jim, where it's like, you know, Jim cuts his tie when Pam tears her veil, cuts his tie. It's like they show up to this party in costume, and instead of just leaving it on to have solidarity with Carol, he just immediately takes it off and just hangs her out to dry. That's it. God, Michael is just terrible. He's so bad, dude.
And of course, there's no plan to propose to her.
I mean,
you know, especially because it doesn't seem like they're at that point in their relationship at all.
No. What are they on, their fourth date? Fourth date?
Well, no, the ninth date.
Is that it? I don't remember.
Yeah. So in Diwali, Carol says, "This is our ninth date." Or no, she says, "This is our fourth date." Hold on. I'm so sorry. I'm in the wrong
Fours look like nines sometimes.
Wait, can I?
Impulsivity and inattention to detail.
I had the wrong page pulled up. Yes. Okay. In Diwali, she says, "This is our ninth date, Michael." But what's funny is that in Sex Ed in season 7, when Michael goes and meets all of his former partners, lovers, girlfriends, whatever, Carol says, "You proposed to me on our fourth date." So that means that there's another proposal that Michael did.
Oh, that's right.
That we don't see.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that also tracks with how Michael's mom reacts to the news. Mom, I'm getting married.
No, you're not.
That's all you need to know about Michael right there.
He torpedoes relationships.
And himself perpetually, constantly. And none bigger than in this moment, which is... for me, a level of cringe that's almost unmatched on the show. That's then, like, and right after that is when he tries to kiss Pam. I mean, the dude is going down in flames in one night.
Yes.
Like, he's bombing and in every single way.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny is he actually, despite his costume snafu with Carol, like, he seems to be doing okay with Carol. You know,
yeah.
I mean, this isn't even really the end of it. I mean, the Christmas card is really the nail in the coffin for Mike. But he makes his huge move here and, you know, usurps Kelly's Diwali party as well. After he usurps the mic from the DJ to do this.
I know what you're thinking. Who's this crazy gringo and what is it going to say? And then as they're exiting the building, he says, "Maybe I'm Hindu after all," to Carol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and this is very similar to, I think,
your proposal. Michael, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's basically what happened to me. But I think what Michael goes through is kind of similar to Roy on Booze Cruise, in that Roy drunkenly talks to Captain Jack, who inspires him to set the date for their wedding. Michael, talking to Kelly's parents, is inspired to take this huge grand gesture and, you know, take the idea that, like, why do I have to wait? Why don't we just get married and it'll work out? Which is kind of what happened with Kelly's parents, we're led to believe. So you could convince that guy to do anything, like, if you get the right person in front of him, including proposing to someone who's been on their ninth date. By the way, I've never kept track of what number date I'm on past, like, three or four.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It'd be weird if someone was like, this is our ninth date. I'm like, are you writing this in our calendar?
This is 257. there is an element of Michael that is 0 to 100 in so many of these situations. In Chair Model, in Night Out, right here. And he's never afraid to make the grand gesture or to make the leap in his mind. I think I want her to meet my mom.
Yeah.
You know, he says about the girl that he'd been talking to in Night Out.
A sign of a desperate man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you're 0 to 100.
Yep. Yeah.
I guess. Love it. I love it more. I love it.
Can I tell you, there's a deleted scene from Customer Survey, which is the episode after Employee Transfer.
Yes.
Where Michael comes back and has that moment with his mom where she says, no, you're not, you know. And Meredith says, come on, how did you propose? Spill it. Were you wasted? And Michael says, how did I propose? Well, let me see. Well, I drove her up to Nashua, and I had the ring, a big 10-carat diamond. It was beautiful. And I got down on my hands and knees, and a shooting star crossed overhead. And it just lit up the diamond like a shooting star. And we were at a restaurant, and I put the diamond into a cheeseburger. Kevin and Andy, ooh, Michael. And she took a bite, started to choke. So what do? I have CPR training. Go around, start doing the Heimlich. Jim, perfect. Michael, the ring, 10-carat diamond, pops out of her mouth, hits her shrimp cocktail right onto her finger, 1,000,000 to 1 shot. All of the Greek people in the restaurant start screaming, Opa, which means congratulations. So, and Andy says, oh, man.
He's just like...
What an epic tale.
I got down on my hands and knees.
Hands and knees.
A shooting star went overhead. We were at a restaurant.
I put the diamond into a cheeseburger.
Bounces off the shrimp cocktail onto her finger. Yeah. Holy moly.
She ordered a cheeseburger and a shrimp cocktail.
Yeah.
Nice move.
Mm-hmm. I guess we could move on to, I'll just call them the good proposals of The Office. The successful proposals of The Office.
Mm.
Starting with, as Edwin was ready to move on to earlier, the Pam and Jim, the Pim and Jam.
Mm-hmm.
A little close to my engagement there, Tuna. What's your game here? To get married.
Andy does have a point there.
Mm-hmm.
On the cuff.
It's just, by the way, just getting drops. There is a supercut on YouTube of every time Andy says tuna, and it's delightful.
Wet tuna.
I was just going to say that. When he comes back from this proposal. Yeah. Again, another soaking wet proposal. One of two.
Right now I need canned tuna.
Wet tuna.
Yeah.
I think this has been stated before.
Large tuna.
Okay.
Keep it coming.
M'lady, Matuna.
There we go. That's my favorite.
It's pretty good.
Damn it. When he pours out all the popcorn, yeah. Thin sliced tuna carpaccio.
That's all I got. That's the only tunas I have ready to go. All right, let's talk about the jam proposal.
Perhaps, this is the proposal to date on the show, right? I mean, this is the one that we've been waiting for.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We get two more big ones after this, but this is the first. And for this most romantic proposal, the backdrop is a gas station, which they built.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we've talked about that before. But yes. I love this screenshot and how much product and like iced tea and Red Bull packaging and stuff like that. I mean, all of it's kind of generic looking, but it's just, I mean, it is the proposal that we've all been waiting for, and it's the least romantic, the least classic backdrop for a proposal.
It is. As Kelly later remarks later in the show, when talking about this, been like, oh, like it was at a gas station. I was like, oh, it was really romantic. It was raining. And it was raining? Like,
I mean, that's what Michael says. You didn't say that the weather was bad.
Oh, yeah. The weather was bad. It's such a great different vantage point of this. Because you're right. I mean, how much we care about Jim and Pam at this point, how much we've been through with them. I mean, they could propose anywhere, and it would have been a huge moment. Emotionally, it's one of the highest peaks we get on the show.
I mean, it's a metaphor. They travel halfway between them.
Yes.
They try to meet halfway. It's based on the gas station where that soda pop exploded on me, Jim said in their IM chat. And then even when they get there, Pam says, this is not halfway. This is more than halfway. You need to pay for lunch. So they even kind of start bantering when they get there. So it's a perfect sort of encapsulation of their relationship. But yeah, from a Michael and Kelly perspective, it might not stand up.
I mean, rewatching this scene, I got a little verklempt, because I know that if this scenario happened with me and Anne, my bride to be, that is exactly the first thing she would have said when we were meeting. She would be like, "I checked. This is not halfway."
I can see Anne doing
it. It was like, "Oh, that's exactly the first thing she'd say." That's great. Sorry, what were you saying, Sean?
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, my proposal was, you know, in the rain, in the mud, in front of a gazebo that was falling down, you know? It's like, it all depends on how you look at it, you know? Just like right. Edwin pointing out that this gas station is, you know, halfway between them. It has its own meaning.
I think, too, there's like a follow-up to this where they find out that they talk about them getting engaged, and Michael tackles Jim to be married?
Right.
Tall guy got engaged.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in the actual proposal, it's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. It's not a long scene. It's actually quite short, quite brief, considering what the show could have done for this proposal. They sort of play that out with Michael and Holly later. But for this, for who Jim is, I would say mostly, and who Pam appreciates Jim to be, as far as like making his move right then there, while they're apart. I mean, it is really sweet, you know, despite everything the rain and the gas station and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And thank God, you know, no one pulled in front of the camera to pump their gas.
I mean, and of course, I don't want to knock anybody who does this type of thing, but if you pick an engagement spot that is like, you know, really iconic or really romantic, then you share that with a lot of other people. How many proposals have happened at that gas station? You know what I mean? Like, it's unique to them and special to them, and therefore it is like the most romantic place that they could have.
And that's really all that matters.
I mean, you talk about beauty in ordinary things. That's what they've made it there.
They
created it there. So, yeah.
Quick question for you about this proposal. Emotionally, your emotional reaction, what was bigger for you? Was it this proposal, or was it when Jim comes back from the job and asks Pam out on the first date?
That's a good question.
Jim coming back and asking Pam on the first date is just like, wait a minute, what just happened? Like,
because that's the cut end of episode two, when she's like, I'm sorry, what was the question?
Yeah.
And Jenna Fisher's acting in that scene is incredible. It's perfect. Mm-hmm.
Well, they throw out by saying, what was the question? They throw out the filmmaking crew that like what's going on? Like there isn't that narrative voice that often is the voiceover that often happens from the talking heads that set up all the different scenes. But yeah.
And it feels kind of the same with this proposal where the cameras there or not doesn't concern them. Like they're, you know, Jim, especially more than anyone, is always aware of where the camera is and what's happening. And in this one, it's this long shot. Presumably they went with Jim, the camera crew. Did they tail him? Did they get on the other side of the interstate and shoot through the rain? Whatever. It doesn't matter. But
it was Brian, the sound guy with the parabolic mic.
Just weeping. Just...
yeah. I think this one might have caught me more off guard. The engagement. Because it's in the season opener. At the end of the job, it's hard to remember what my first reaction was to that scene because, you know, it's been a while, you know, since you were able to watch that for the first time. But I feel like at the job, at the end of the season, you're almost expecting big things to happen. You know that something's going to happen, or you hope that something will. I think it was a surprise, but maybe not a shock at the end of season three. It's hard to remember what it was like to watch that for the first time. But right. I do kind of think that the beginning of, if we're talking about weight loss, the beginning of season five, the anticipation of watching a new season of The Office, I was not expecting the engagement to happen right away, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
The next successful proposal on this show, and I would say maybe more traditionally romantic because of all the candles, is Michael and Holly.
A fire hazard.
Big fire hazard. A lot of money on candles. You would have to go to several Targets to buy all those candles.
You had to call Jan to get that kind of inventory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that... I never thought
I'm not strong. I'll go back to Jan. I hate Jan. Oh, God!
There's not a deleted scene of Michael saying that he bought all those candles from Jan or got them from her.
Yeah, I don't think he bought them. I think he might have just had a couple cases.
They're just in the garage of his condo. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think Jan ever made a candle out of spite and just called it Old Tomatoes?
Oh, probably. I'm sure she made a lot of candles in spite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, this is the garage sale one, and Michael gets kind of coached through his proposal. Yep. By Pam, because she just sees him pouring gasoline in the parking lot. Oh. Michael, you had two ideas today. One was fantastic, and the other was terrible. I love that everyone in the office is on board. They know that this is the right thing for Michael. She's perfect for you. And then they have that moment together at the end of the garage sale where they're all in the office together. It started with a broken and then the sprinklers come on. Mm-hmm. And Holly Flax. It's just it's a legendary proposal in the office. I know. What do you guys think about this proposal?
The parts that I like about it are the stuff between Michael and Holly, which is, you know, them sitting on the spot, same way that they both sat down when Holly was fixing her chair.
Remember what I tried to do there? Michael.
Yeah, Michael. Yeah. and you know, using the Yoda voice in that spot, and how much all the ways, you know, Michael's imagination could have run wild with the proposal, as we saw with the parking lot. But you knew it had to happen inside the office, inside this place that Michael considers a home more than his actual house. and to have Holly come into that space and into his life, he reflects that back in this proposal by putting a lot of meaning into where he does it. How he does it, not a fan. Gets harder and harder to watch it every single time. That's what she said. And that's where I'm at with this proposal, is every time it comes on, I kind of just get like, ugh. That's kind of the sound.
Because you just don't like the break room part?
Yeah, all of it. I kind of like the moment when he, you know, actually asked. But getting through the break room, the amount of candles, it's one of those, like you say, Sean, it's one of those moments where it suddenly doesn't feel like The Office. It feels like a separate. It felt like they made a little extra special thing that it's so the opposite of what Jim and Pam did, you know, and all the other proposals felt so in line with the show. They felt so ingrained in the DNA of what the show is. And this one didn't to me. It felt like they did all this extra stuff and it didn't feel like Michael Scott, this proposal. That's it.
Well, I mean, Michael's ideas were to pour gasoline in the parking lot and light it on fire.
You know what? As I said that, you're right.
Corpse just like me, throw it off the roof. That leads to me saying the line, I lost my head when I fell in love with you.
I'm sorry. You know what? You're right. This is Pam guided Michael to this, right? That's what we could assume. Okay.
Somehow I like this proposal because, of course, I don't like these overly cheesy moments. But I guess I just like Michael and Holly together a lot. And that's maybe what it is for me. And I like the moment. Sure. I like the moment when he opens the door from the break room, which is in which I don't like. And then,
oh, you mean the
candle? You mean like being in the break room when he
the Will
opens
You Marry
the door.
Me gauntlet that they make Holly run?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And then when he opens the door, yeah, I guess that's the kitchen. I'm sorry. I get those mixed up.
Yeah.
But when he opens the door and she's like, shocked to see all the candles. I love that moment. Mm-hmm. I love that moment. I love that it ends where it started with them sitting on the floor.
I do too.
At her desk.
I do too. Mm-hmm. I do too. But that's how much the kitchen scene ruins it for me. Is I hate this proposal so much because of that.
I can't fault you there. That is
one of the
that's a Roniac move right there.
One of the best bloopers on the show, in my opinion, is going in that scene where Michael is coming up with his ideas. I get a corpse dressed like me, throw it off the roof. That leads to the line. And then they're like, next idea. And Michael says, Paula Poundstone. And Pam says, what about her? He says, I throw Paula Poundstone off the roof. And it's clearly an improv, and all of the actors just break immediately. Even Steve Carell, they all break immediately. So,
yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're right. I mean, look, I'm really happy for Michael and Holly in this moment, of course. Mm-hmm. But for all those reasons, it was like, I agree that Michael does give his original ideas. It's clear Pam talks it out of it, and it was like, why don't you try this? Why don't you try this?
He has the ring. Is that real?
Yeah, yeah.
3 years salary.
Yeah, 3 years salary. No, she'll love it. yeah, I love all that. And Michael is, at his core, is a really sweet romantic guy. As misguided and as how many terrible ways that manifests itself, he is. I mean, I also rewatched the when they go out to the double date, or they go out to the birthday lunch for Helene.
Double date.
And the way Michael sets up that whole restaurant, and with the birthday and how sweet the scrapbook he makes, and Pam is genuinely so impressed in that moment. She's like, wow, all right, that move changes Pam's mind, which is unchangeable, it seems, at that moment. Mm. And so, Michael does have this in him to pull these moments off. And so maybe it is that Pam just kind of reigns in that energy of throwing bodies off buildings and setting things on fire, too. That's just how hot Michael's burning for this. But kind of funnels, and she lets him keep the fire with all the candles. There's still a lot of fire. Well, but, he lands the plane really well.
Remember, we're talking about proposals. In season 7, Ultimatum / Classic Christmas, Holly is talking about how she's going to give AJ an ultimatum about how he needs to propose by the end of the year. Mm. And Kelly says, that's a great idea. Basically, no one does anything for me. Ultimatums are a key. Basically, no one does anything for me unless I tell them I'm going to kill myself. So, there is an ultimatum thing that happens there. I know, right? Yeah. And but then Michael talks about how this is the most important day of his life. Hold on, give me just a second and I will find the quote. Basically, fine. He says, what did you say?
That's just my drop. If you're gonna hang on a sec, let me look it up.
It's fine.
Okay. Today will either be the best or worst day of my life. Holly gave AJ an ultimatum. He either proposes by New Year's or they break up. Now, if she's engaged, I'm going to go crazy and I'm going to start attacking people. If she's not engaged, in all honesty, I may just burn this whole place to the ground out of happiness. Either way, I'm going to need some talking down, and no one talks me down like myself in a video talking me down. So, yeah. Yeah.
He reels him in on the, it's so
good. Whoa, the fishing rod. Yeah. So the Michael does instinctively go to burning places down out of happiness.
Yeah.
Fire burns within.
He's a fiery guy. Mm-hmm. No doubt. Mm-hmm. We would be remiss to bring up this scene, not bring it up. One of the great all-time lines on this show, which is right after they announced going to Colorado, shot of Kevin. We're moving to Colorado. All of us? It's a five-star line. Mm-hmm. Delivered beautifully by Brian Baumgartner.
It makes you realize at that moment, maybe Kevin's really got nothing going for him in Scranton at that moment.
he's willing to go with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah. This is what I've been waiting for.
This is great. All of us? those are all the proposals, right?
We have one more.
Excuse me.
Oh, my goodness. We forgot one more.
Best for last.
Which is funny because you'll hear my hot take soon.
It was your drop at the top of the show.
I know. Believe me.
I'm so excited. Yeah, I'm so excited for your hot take.
My hot take is I always forget how this proposal goes.
Your hot take?
That's it. It's late in season 9, and I forget it entirely. I had to read what happens. Dwight pulls her over, and I barely remember it. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. This is
all right. Dwight impersonates a police officer, as he is wont to do.
Yeah, this is why you have us, buddy. Yeah.
Tosses the siren up on his car, violently veers her off the road, pull over with the megaphone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as patient and cutesy and romantic as Jim is with his proposal, Dwight is equally blunt, aggressive, and forceful with his proposal. It's very in character.
Well, I mean, what happens in this episode is Dwight kind of realizes he's going to propose to Esther.
Mm.
And he's interacting with Philip, and he realizes that Philip is his son. And he's being coached. And Jim, who is making a gesture for Pam, enlists the help of the documentary crew. And Dwight summons Jim with the now bag, I think.
Yes.
And while Pam is watching the video, and Jim is talking to Dwight about how Dwight says, I was going to propose to Esther today, and he talks about why, but there's this one thing, and Jim talks about, like, you know, love and kind of inspires that in Dwight. And so Dwight, you know, talks to Angela about how he knows that Philip is his son, and she says, well, that would all be great if he were your son, but he's not your son. And so then, Dwight drives after her, goes to pull her over, and... You know, Angela says, I just needed you to want to marry me because you wanted to marry me. Because in the business transaction, Dwight says, you will, of course, be rewarded with a marriage proposal. But they have this big sort of confrontation where Dwight does actually, you know, so much of Dwight and Angela's relationship is coded. It's in secret. There's the agreement to raise the child. There's, like, so much of it is either
all
hidden
notarized
or cold or exactly. And like, this is the moment where Dwight says into the megaphone, this expresses how loudly I love you.
Right.
You know? So this is
this expresses how loudly I love you.
There's a lot to it in this moment. And then Angela says, Philip's your son. And Dwight says, get out. I'm a dad.
it's really.
You're
funny.
A dad. Yeah.
That's what I mean. We're like, this proposal still, even at the very end in season 9, it still feels so in the fabric of the show. It's just like, feels like perfect.
I like all that, actually. I really do. I wonder if it's just that it's almost because it's so tied to Jim and Pam's, like, you know what I mean? Like, the catalyst for it is... I'll never forget the moment of Pam watching the video and stuff like that. So it's like, so I remember that very clearly. But I think maybe it's just that it's riding on the coattails of that moment that is hard to remember.
Are you calling me wrong?
So much of season 9 is them wrapping up the show and landing the plane. Like, yep. I think it's very common, unless you're really like...
It all goes so fast.
I know that a lot of our listeners are rewatching the show again and again on a cycle, I totally understand that's a way to watch the show. And like, I imagine if you're doing that, then those beats are really fresh, you know, or that they're a little easier to remember. I mean, I know we've talked about how we kind of jump around now, especially with us doing this show, watching different chunks to prep. It's easy to forget, like, exactly when and where all those wrap-ups happen, because they happen in like... hour-long episodes at the end of season 9, and one of which is set in the future, you know, slightly with Dwight's wedding. So it is easy to lose lose those threads a little bit. So I think it's totally understandable. It happens to me as well sometimes. But I really thought your hot take was going to be that you liked this one better than the others, and you're just, and you said, I don't really remember this one.
Hot take. But, I don't remember it.
You know, I think it's great that it's really funny. You know, I love this proposal. I actually
hey
like
everyone.
All three of
Kevin's
these.
Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
I mean, I will say it's very, like, not like me maybe, but I do enjoy all these. I think these three proposals that we've just talked about, I do enjoy very much.
Pam and Jim, Michael Hawley, and Dwight.
That's right. That's right.
I do think there's there's something funny. I mean, we've mapped out a lot of them in the show. In Pool Party in season 8, Andy has that ring. He's like, he talks about how his family met Jessica and flipped out and gave him the ring to propose. And he said, I haven't proposed to anyone in years. So, like, similar to Michael, they propose a lot. I do think there's something, like, to the fact that these are big gestures for these people. That, like, for Dwight and for Andy, or excuse me, sorry. For Michael and for Andy, this comes a lot easier. They don't have a problem, you know, projecting romantically into the future. Michael wants the catch-up fights and the tickling and the giggling. And, you know, like, they can go 0 to 100 like that. And making this gesture is very easy, and it's often very comedically – it's very funny. It's done – it's because it fails so spectacularly, you know, at least in the case of Michael. But for Dwight, like, this is something that was not easy for him, that he had to, like, build up sort of the effort to do. He had – that other path with Esther, and he was able to kind of like figure out that what he really wanted to do was propose to Angela. So he had to make the gesture. And same with Jim. It took all those years and all that buildup to waiting, like in his wedding toast. Mm. And he's finally able to make that proposal gesture. So there is something that I think is really effective as a storytelling device within the show of these characters putting themselves out there, putting themselves on the lights. It becomes so easy to others, and it's so difficult for others.
Beautiful.
Thanks, man.
It's gorgeous.
I don't know. I don't have any follow up after that. That's lovely.
Your card is more beautiful than the glove.
a line that I can't get over from that episode, from what is it, AARM, when Dwight makes his proposal, is when they have the problems with Angela and Oscar and Kevin and Philip, because Kevin feels neglected. Because of Philip.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he finally gets to hold him, and Kevin, just the line of, what a chubbers.
What a chubbers.
When he first gets to hold Philip. Yeah.
Good one.
A classic.
There it is. Proposals, yeah. Huh?
Mm-hmm. I propose.
Proposals on the office.
I propose we go to conference room. That would energize me greatly.
Ah, but first, a quick break. Oh, Sean, you know what that sound is?
It's a cash register.
There you go. You know what? I love that sound, Sean. And let me tell you why. That's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. The very service that this show uses for their merchandise store.
Oh.
Shopify gives entrepreneurs like us, Sean, and we are entrepreneurs, the resources once reserved for big business. So upstarts, startups, established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibility. And believe me, this podcast started out selling nothing. We had nothing for sale, right? And I set the store up. I messed it up. Initially, we were losing money on our first sales. Our first three sales, Sean, we lost money because I messed it up.
What?
And I set the fees wrong. I know. Every time we made a sale, we lost it.
I'm ready to fire you.
But you should. But you shouldn't. Because... Okay. I used Shopify. Today, we're moving product like hotcakes. And we're not stopping there because success is a million milestones on a forever evolving path, Sean. Did you know that?
Jeez.
I know, dude.
Poetic.
Like, I understand. Now, listen, MSPCstore.com, we use Shopify. You can get all your stuff right there, all thanks to Shopify. And like our business, Shopify powers over 1.7 million other businesses from first sale to full scale.
Our business powers 1.75 million other
I'll do
businesses.
That line again, Sean. Like our business, Shopify powers over 1.7 million businesses, as we do, from first sale to full scale. Reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. Synchronize your online and your in-person sales. Gain insights as you love insights, Sean. Gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. More than a store, Shopify grows with you. This is possibility powered by Shopify. So go to shopify.com/Scott, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/Scott. That's shopify.com/Scott.
This episode is brought to you by Best Fiends. If you know me well, you know that I love a good phone game, something to play while you're watching TV.
Yes, you do.
I do. It's an addiction. I don't play many a lot of video games, but I love a good phone game for those moments where you have some time to kill. In my humble opinion, Best Fiends is the best match 3 style game by far. The rest are basically the same with different color schemes. So stop crushing the same old candy and try a puzzle game with something fresh to offer. With Best Fiends, you play through an actual storyline complete with good guys, the fiends, and some not-so-good guys, the slugs. Your fiends start out as wee baby versions of their future selves. The more you play, the more fiends join your team, and the more powerful they become, helping you solve increasingly challenging puzzles as you progress through the game. It's an action-packed adventure and a brain-boosting puzzle game all rolled into one, and with new content added all the time, you're never bored. Not to brag, but I'm pretty far along, but still... Best Fiends has literally thousands of levels with more added all the time, so there's always a fresh challenge waiting for me or waiting for you when we need a mental pickup. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
Good health starts with good habits. I gotta say, I am not one for good habits. I've been trying to work on this, trying to get into some better habits, going for runs. Eating less meat. Okay, these are just things that we all should be working on. One good habit that has been easy for me is brushing my teeth, because Quip makes it easy by delivering all the oral care essentials you need to care for your mouth. That's right, the Quip electric toothbrush is loved by over 7 million mouths. Okay, and has timed sonic vibrations with 30-second pulses to guide a dentist-recommended 2-minute clean. That's the thing for me that I like, that I'm kind of always in a hurry. I'm always, my mind is wandering. I don't know how long I've been standing there brushing my teeth, and I'm ready to go after, like, you know, 15 seconds. I know with the Quip, when it pulses, that I've got to wait for 2 minutes. And I like also that it's kind of declutters your bathroom. You don't have a big cord with a charger and stuff. It looks nice. It comes with a little stand that mounts to the mirror, and it just declutters the sink and the cabinet, and it looks great. So I really like the Quip. Stylish and affordable electric toothbrushes starting at just $25. You won't be paying through the teeth for better oral care. If you go to quip.com/Scott right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/Scott. Spelled GETQUIP.com/Scott. Quip, the good habits company.
Welcome back to the show. Before we get into trivia, we're going to do a quick ordinary thing segment.
That is our building. And we sell paper.
It would be... not a good idea to do a whole episode about proposals, Sean, and not hear about yours and my proposals as we approach rapidly approach my wedding. So, sure. You kind of hinted at it earlier as far as muddy in the mud and rain in a broken down gazebo, but tell us about your proposal.
Sounds like a Bruce Springsteen song.
Yeah.
In the mud and the rain, down in the gazebo.
I wish I remembered, like, my other ideas. I mean, I'm sure that I considered doing it at Cape Lookout, which is a coastal campsite that Ryan and I and a lot of our friends have gone to, like, nearly every year for
It's
like
been
a decade now.
A while. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Navor. Shout out to DeGard Brewing. Shout out to Jacobs and Salt.
Tillamook Creamery is out there.
Creamery.
Too.
Shout out
Pelican. Yeah.
Shout out to Pelican.
Yeah. We had a plan to go. I had already bought the ring and didn't know what the plan was. So, I think I'd recommend. You know, you don't have to come up with your proposal plan before you buy the ring.
Agreed.
Ryan's family had decided to go wine tasting the day after Thanksgiving and, you know, had planned a few weeks out. And I was like, oh, that would be perfect because Ryan's parents got married at a gazebo on Ryan's mom's dad's on Ryan's grandpa's vineyard. So, which is out in the Willamette Valley. And that gazebo is still there and is nearly, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it disappears in
strong
some time.
Gust of
I would be very sad, but, and I'm sure everybody, they would be too, but so it was perfect. I was like, oh, this is great. We can go to, there's a winery across the street. I knew it was going to be closed that day. And so it was like, oh, we'll go to the winery across the street. And it'll be like, oh, no, it's closed. Well, while we're here, we should walk up to the gazebo.
You put a little acting in your...
Very much. I had to text with Ryan's mom and sister. And we had to make a, you know, I was like, you know, then this, you know, then we'll kind of split up into two different cars. And then the other car will be late. And like you, like Ryan's parents will wait back and I'll just be like, well, we can just walk up there and we'll just meet you in a couple of minutes. And they're like, sure. And then so we go walking off and so we're walking up towards the gazebo and Ryan's like, my dad's taking pictures of us from the parking lot. And she still didn't figure it out. And then we're walking, like, you know.
It's so funny. I didn't know that.
We're walking down the rows of all the grapes, and, like, and it's just getting muddier and muddier. We are, like, sinking in. And I should also say, too, that Ryan's sister was really smart to text Ryan ahead of time and be like, what are you wearing? I want to wear something nice so that we can take a lot of pictures. It was like, and that was like what convinced Ryan to dress up. And so like, but so then we're walking through all this mud and she's like, oh my God, it's so muddy. And then I think we kind of stopped just before the gazebo and I was like, oh, let's just walk a little bit further. And then she was like, wait, why did we walk out here in the first place? And then I got to say, I was so nervous. I don't remember exactly what I said at all. And I had a plan to kneel in the mud and then have a muddy knee. I thought that would be really romantic. But I didn't do it because I was just so – I just didn't know what to do.
You didn't go on a knee?
I didn't go on a knee. I forgot in the moment, and I feel so silly for it.
It's so nerve-wracking.
It's very nerve-wracking. You want to get it right. Well, because I think I had something. I did have something that memorized sort of that I was going to say, and it was just like, I want to get the timing right. I didn't want to blow the surprise because she still hadn't figured it out. And then I missed that. But then it was great because then, you know, her whole family showed up. We took pictures. We went out for more wine and champagne. It was a great day. I love that it was kind of a gray day. But the rain broke just for that one moment for us to take a lot of pictures and everything.
Nice.
So that's my proposal.
Very nice. That's great. I kind of knew the story of yours. I didn't know the full story, but that
my dad is taking pictures of
that. Observation is so funny.
I know.
I could just hear Ryan. I could hear exactly how she said that. Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. I'll do mine quickly, but mine was, I did it in the beginning of, this year. Is that right? Yeah. That was this year. That's crazy. It feels like a lifetime ago, but it was January of this year, and I'd got a custom ring made from this jeweler and it had to get shipped to me. And so a lot, my timing on the proposal had to do with when I was going to actually have the ring. I had a few things on the calendar and it's ended up that we had a friend has a, they own a house out at the Oregon coast, very close to Cape Lookout actually. And they let us use that house for an extended weekend. So I knew that was coming up. I had the ring. I got the ring like 4 or 5 days before that trip happened. I was I was ready, and I knew I was going to do it at Cape Kiwanda, which is one of those beautiful spots on the Oregon coast. It's a huge dune cape that goes out into the ocean right next to Pelican Brewery. It's one of the spots where I go surfing. It's a spot where Ann and I had had spent a lot of time together. And I made the mistake. My big mistake was trying to really time it for sunset exactly. Mm. Because, as you know, sunset on the Oregon coast is a fickle thing. It can happen sometimes. If it does, it's very brief, and it's usually covered by clouds. But sometimes you get lucky. So I rolled the dice on that. And my problem was Ann and I are not good at leaving the house when we want to. And I knew the sun was I knew the sunset. It was happening at like, you know, exactly 6:12. I knew that in order to be there at the top of Cape Kiwanda, we needed to be at the bottom of it by like, you know, 5:50, which means we need to leave the house at 5:35.
You're like, come on, let's go.
it's like 4:30, and Anne is still like in the bath taking a bath, and I'm like, hey, hon, let's get a move. And she's like, what are we in a rush for?
I really want to see this sunset.
We're just having a relaxing
weekend. Let's go. At the
beach. It doesn't happen every day. Yeah.
It's just her and I having a relaxing weekend at the beach. Like, there's no stress. And I'm like, me. So my behavior, I think, tipped her off. I think she figured it out on the way to the cake.
She was like, all right.
She didn't know it was going to happen that weekend. So it actually was like, there was still a little bit of surprise, but not
totally.
But anyway, we hiked up to the top. We actually got there on time. It was good. I was such a nervous mess that I was just blundering it at the top, because I was like, oh, do you want to stand over there? Or do you like this spot over here? And she's like, at this point, she's like, I know what you're doing. She didn't say that to me, but she's like, wherever you want, it's fine. And I was like, all right. You know, I'm still under the impression it's a surprise, which it's clearly not. But we found a great spot, and it was really crowded up there, but we managed to get a spot away from everyone. My knee did hit the sand.
Good
I
work.
Don't totally remember what I said. Spoiler alert, the clouds did not clear at all. It just stayed cloudy. But we had a really nice, beautiful view of the ocean, and it was just us up there. So it was really nice. That was it.
That's beautiful, man.
Hey, yours That's too. A great- Yours too. You know, and Edwin will top us all, I'm sure.
They have someday.
I feel like a proper proposal story has to have its like, and here's where I fucked up.
Here's where I messed up. Mm-hmm. It's a very common occurrence. I forget, some magazine did a story about this where they interviewed a ton of women who married women. And it was like a significant portion of women think they're about to be broken up with right before they're proposed to, because the dudes always act so weird and different from their normal
That's
selves.
That's so funny.
We're walking to a weird remote location away from everyone. He's acting very weird. He's sitting me on a bench. And I think that probably was the case. Could have been the case for me for sure. But Anne's a sleuth and figured it out right away. So she played along. Anyway. That's our proposal stories, folks.
Nice of you guys to share it with everybody, you know.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do better than we did, or worse. It doesn't
Wish
really matter.
You guys
could
have been there.
I know. It doesn't really matter.
All of us?
All right. Let's do some trivia, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Okay, so this week's trivia. Also, thank you to everyone who sent us new trivia, who resent us old trivia. We really appreciate it. This is a resend from Laura. Thank you so much. This is, Laura says, I have written some trivia for you. I chose this episode because it is the only episode of The Office that aired on my birthday.
Oh.
Although I've seen this episode several times until I began watching it for the trivia questions, I hadn't realized just how funny it really is. It was very hard narrowing down all the possible trivia, and I have left out a lot of great moments. If you think of any other funny things from this episode, I guarantee I have them in my original list of questions, including, did I say Messina? Because this is Tallahassee season 8, episode 15. Laura, this is an incredible trivia.
Oh, I will hammer spank your rear.
that I could pick through for a long time. I'm just going to pick a few questions out of this, and I'm going to ask the dudes. So here we go. In the cold open, Dwight wakes up everyone. He has key cards to their rooms, of course. How does he awaken? Yes. I'm going to go through each person. How does he awaken Kathy?
It's like a loud noise, like a scream in her ear.
He just yells, wake up, in her ear.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
How does he awaken Aaron?
It's like
Aaron's sleeping opposite in the
bed,
right?
Yeah, he's like, I think he's trying to grab her ankle, and it's like, turns out to be her head or her hand or something like
that. No, he also yells, wake up, in her ear, but then gets kicked in the face because Aaron is sleeping turned around.
That's right.
Fell asleep reading the mattress label.
That's yes. Right. How does he wake up Stanley?
Oh, he suffocates him.
Yeah,
he holds the nose. And
Stanley, it's pretzel day. Yeah.
Right.
He and Dwight and Aaron are doing it together. Yeah.
Yeah. They say,
the way Dwight just slowly pinches his nose is so funny.
Just like, this could kill him, but we have to try it.
I'm in control. Yeah.
What about Ryan?
Wake up. We're in Florida now. He has Aaron say that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's like, I'm so glad this is happening.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to your door like three times last night.
Yeah. Oh, not cool, man.
Yeah. Doesn't Dwight like look at the camera like that was his play at all?
Yeah, yeah.
And then finally, Jim. Jim has been up, of course, since 4:15, but with no kids, so he doesn't know what to do with himself. Describe what he does with himself in as much detail as you can remember.
What Jim does with himself?
Yeah, how Jim fills the morning. Sorry.
He ties the sheets out of the room.
The TV has static on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It was Dwight with
stuff
the,
is knocked over.
Yeah. Find Wanda at the alcohol club.
At the alcohol club.
Yeah.
Is there not
full
money?
Of money?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think there's
he
cash.
He falls out of the door.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Then Dwight opens the door, and here's Dwight.
Oh no. Jim must have got mixed up with some bad apples.
Yeah.
I think you guys got everything, except for there are bloody sheets, and there is an overturned lamp is the other,
okay.
The other thing there.
Okay.
When Andy is working reception in this episode, he really enjoys it.
He does.
What are the things that he has done to go above and beyond?
Ooh, the spiral pen cup.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or the bagel. Color, the yes. tiered pen cup.
Did you see that? It's really nice, Andy.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Bagel bites?
No, he goes, I mean, that's what he says.
Mini pizzas? Yes.
Mini pizzas.
And then I've got bacon
bagel bites on deck. Oh, bacon wrap dates on deck.
Yes.
Yeah. Because Oscar's mouth was in canker country. We keep things savory.
God bless Andy sometimes. I mean, he just nails it sometimes.
His name is Oscar, and he got the mail.
Yeah.
You better open it or go to jail because it's your taxes. Yeah. I mean, he does that, and then he does the phone message or something like that. Are there other things that he does?
Something with Post-its?
Yeah, he's got... I mean, he does a lot. He also puts up a sign that says, today is always your day.
Mm-hmm.
He has new magazines at the sofa.
Ooh, oh, well.
Yeah. And he uses the shredder and fax machine at the same time.
Mm.
Can you recall Dwight's ridiculous yet intriguing explanation regarding the cyclical part of shopping habits are seasonal and cyclical?
Is it like when he's got the
recall?
Appendix?
Like what? Say the whole line.
But that's kind of what she's asking here. Yeah.
Jeez.
Is it like?
But I mean, I how about this? Where does he go with it?
Well, if it's cycles, it's probably like menstrual. It's
yeah,
the menstrual
okay,
cycles,
yes.
Right?
Oh,
okay.
Shopping is also cyclical. The menstrual cycle determines every choice a woman makes. You see, during ovulation. A woman's only goal is to get pregnant during menses. She is sad that she has failed. And how does the woman console herself? Shopping.
Ah, okay.
Jesus. Finally, thanks. Who is the special guest that Nelly has brought in to speak to the group?
Famous Amos.
Famous Amos.
Can you name his first name?
Charles.
Wally.
Billy?
Wally.
Wally Famous Amos, who himself was born and raised in Tallahassee until the age 12.
Excuse me, Famous? I have a cookie idea for you. Is it oatmeal, no raisins? I'm sorry to have wasted your time.
Is it oatmeal, no raisins? Yeah, he's got like, just let me finish my talk. What's under their sheet? I bet it's cookies. It's cookies.
I love that Aaron says, excuse me, Famous. Yeah.
Yeah, Famous.
Yeah, that's right.
That's good.
If you have some trivia that you would like to share with us, email us at mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. Yeah. We also have a phone number, 503-694-9314. You can call us and leave a message for the show. We love to play them on the show. We're on Facebook and Instagram. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. We have a store now.
Oh.
MSPCstore.com.
Oh.
That's where you can get T-shirts, sweaters, that are nicely embroidered. Alex showed up the other day wearing one, and I was floored. It was,
he did.
It was really nice.
He hit the ground like a bag of sand.
What?
Like Alex's knee.
There you go. That's good. Seriously, we got good stuff on there, and a mug.
You can mugs of every character.
Any character you want. That artwork is made by the great Ryan Lloyd, who designs all our artwork. You can join us.
My dad is taking pictures of us.
And you can join us on Patreon.com. Patreon.com/Michael Scott. Become a Scott's Tot. $5 a month. Get a bonus episode every month. You get all the backlog of bonus episodes. You get ad-free episodes. Together we make a donation to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. Special thanks to our Scott's Tots. We love you guys so much. Thank you for supporting the show, for believing in us, for liking us. That's really nice of you. Thank you. Special thanks to Ryan. This episode was recorded in Portland, Oregon over video chat.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging out with us while we talk through different wedding proposals on The Office, while we share stories from our own lives. We just kind of hang out, laugh, and have a good time together. Thank you for making this possible and just spending time with us. It means the world to us. It's a joy to do. It's so much fun that we get to hang out once a week and that people will come along with us on the journey. So just know that we appreciate it. We love you. Take care. Stay safe. We'll see you next week.
Pippity poppy, give me this up.
Yes, sir.
Woof.com.
She's got a way about her. I don't know what it is, but I know that I can't live without her. She's got a way.
Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.